Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Presented by Crop Metcalf, official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. Spish, Cakes, EB, and JP, that's the foursome. And join us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. It is entertainment reporter for Fox 5, Kevin McCarthy. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, JP.
Hello, Kevin.
Kevin, I saw Hustlers with my wife. Right. You gave it a 4 out of 5.
JP gave it a 1.
Yeah.
I didn't give it a 1, but both of us were underwhelmed. I mean, she's a fine actress. I thought it was kind of slow.
What did you not like?
Plotting.
Too slow?
It was kind of slow and plotting, and I don't know. I just didn't love it.
I found it to be really well-paced. I also feel like, to me, it reminded me of, like, Wolf of Wall Street meets Goodfellas meets Strippers. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think there was, I don't know. But, I mean, here's the thing. You're not wrong, and I'm not right, and, you know, it's all opinion. But I like the film, though. I really enjoyed it.
I mean, I do think she is a pretty good actress.
Yeah, like I said last week, you have to watch a movie called Out of Sight if you get a chance. Out of Sight is, like, in my opinion, the movie that shows how incredible she is. It's a Steven Soderbergh movie that came out with George Clooney. It's like a very, very, very amazing movie. It's called Out of Sight. If you haven't seen it,
and I told you, I don't know if the show still exists because I didn't watch the second season and if there was a third season. But my wife and I watched the show on NBC, I believe it was, where she was a cop with Ray Liotta, and it was like Dirty Cops and that type of thing.
Oh, yeah.
She was really good on that show.
Yeah, I didn't see it, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
All right, so you actually interviewed Brad Pitt, the new movie Ad Astra's coming out. I saw the trailer. It looks great.
Have you interviewed him before?
No, well, it was interesting. Well, I'm in L.A. right now, actually, for another interview, and I'll get to that shortly, with Joaquin Phoenix for Joker, and I saw
that
again last night.
I love that.
But he's interesting. We'll get to him, though. But Brad Pitt specifically, no, I've never, ever sat down with him. So over the years, I've only ever had an opportunity to talk to him on a red carpet. The first time was Fury when they did the premiere in D.C. And he was really cool, but that was a super hectic, like, you know, there were every outlet you could ever imagine from every TV. And then the carpet that I did for Ad Astra, the movie we're talking about now, it was a smaller carpet, but it was still hectic. I mean, red carpets are, you guys have seen them, or you guys have seen them on shows, and obviously you've seen that, you've done lines when you guys do your Super Bowl, the radio row. It's like there's so many people talking that it's almost not an intimate experience. So he was cool, but to sit down with him one-on-one, I got 8 minutes, and it was crazy. I mean, first of all, he's a bigger film nerd than I am, and I was, like, blown away when I walked in, because this is a guy who's, you know, arguably one of the most famous people in the world. But I truly feel that he's a very underrated actor. And here's what I mean by that. I'm not saying that he's not famous or not well-known or not considered to be good. I think he's so famous and he's such a celebrity that people forget how good of an actor he is.
No, he's good.
You got to think about his range, man. Like Thelma and Louise, Snatch, you know, you go to Fight Club, you go to Legends of the Fall,
Money
you go to
Ball.
Troy.
He's really good in
Moneyball.
12 Monkeys?
Yeah, I mean, 12 Monkeys, that's a great pull. Terry Gilliam, like, there's like so many. He's genuinely one of the best actors. I mean, he was in the new Quentin Tarantino film. Like, he's awesome and Glorious Bastards. The guy has an insane range. I walk in the room, and he doesn't really do sit-down interviews, especially for a local television. He's more like, he'll do like a, you know, the national hits, but he's not really like a television junkie type of person. So for your audience, if people don't know what a junket is, basically, that's what I'm here in L.A. for. I basically go to a hotel, you watch a movie, and then you interview the actor, and they rotate the reporters in and out basically all day. I mean, generally speaking, they're going from like 10 to 6. And so Brad Pitt only did 4 interviews, the style that I did it on the day that I did it. So it was like a very relaxed, interesting experience rather than being on a carpet. And when you walk in the room, the dude is, I talk about him like this because I felt like I was talking to like a friend of mine about movies. It was weird. Like, he is all in on cinematography, 35 millimeter films. He loves talking about directors. He's a gigantic film nerd, and I mean that in the best way possible. It was weird.
And is that friendly, sort of that open to talking to you?
I watched the interview. He seemed pretty at ease.
Pretty down to earth
about it, yeah.
Yeah, so I walk in and he is standing up. Like, he's one of those, so there's a lot of, in my opinion, there's a certain type of actor that is like brilliant in the way they conduct interviews. And like, it's people like him, Will Smith, Hugh Jackman. There's like, it's like this Tom Cruise, like there's like this old school mentality of like getting up, meeting you at your, at the door, like talking to you before you, and not just like sitting in the chair.
It's like respectful.
Yeah. And I've dealt with both realms of that. It's a lot of the younger actors don't have that at all. Like, they're either late or, you know, it's interesting to me sometimes, but with Pitt specifically, we just stood there and talked. I showed him some photos on my phone of my wife Lauren, obviously dressed up as one of the characters from Quentin Tarantino's movies. He was like interested, and now he's asking me questions about that. This is all before the interview started. He's like over near my chair, just talking to me.
And then he's being like a normal guy.
Yeah, and then he looks at the poster for his movie as if he had never seen it. And he starts reading things on it. He's asking me questions about it, and then he sits down. And the timer tells me to go, and Brad Pitt like looks at me and he goes, "Oh wait, I have a quick geeky question for you." And then he starts asking me questions, and it's like,
"What was he asking you?" By the way, why do you sound so muffled? Keep the phone near your mouth.
Cell phone. Actually, you know what? I want a cell phone in the same hotel. I don't know if I could say this, the name of the hotel, but you guys know somebody who works hotel,
the Bellman.
That's a great hotel, by the way.
He stopped me yesterday and said he liked my tattoo. That was nice. By the way, Eric, I wanted to say sorry for last week. You know I love you. I didn't mean what I said about not trusting you. You know I love you.
Yeah, that's fine. I feel bad. I'm goofing on you so much. But anyway,
go ahead. It's all good. But Brad, yeah. So I sit down and Brad Pitt's just awesome, man. He was like,
What did he ask you? You said he asked you questions.
He was asking me about, we were talking about cinematographers, and he was asking me a question about how a movie was shot. And he wanted to know if it was shot on film or if it was shot on digital. And I was like it was weird because
Why did he think you would know?
Because the first 2 minutes of our conversation was all about cinematographers. So he was like, it was weird. And when the interview ended, we talked about everything. It was 20th anniversary of Fight Club, how David Fincher changed his life. I mean, think about the movies he did with David Fincher, Seven, Fight Club, and The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. Those are all major movies. We talked about that, talked about celebrity, talked about just everything. He was talking about going.
How long did you have with him?
8 minutes.
Wow. All right, so you also had to talk about Ad Astra. Is this a movie worth seeing? The trailers look great. It looked like, all right, there's space elements and maybe futuristic elements, and also a father-son story.
Yeah, I mean, it's an incredible film, and I think people are going to be blown away by the scale of it, because it's not only an insane action film, it's also a genuinely thought-provoking film about fathers and sons. And I think, because each one of you is a father, there's a very fascinating element here that Brad Pitt's character is subtly breaking into more emotionally. Basically, Tommy Lee Jones's character is a famous astronaut, and he plays his father in the film. And 30 years prior, he went on a space mission and disappeared. And somehow, 30 years later, that disappearance has now come back up on the radar, and there's some type of surge element that's affecting Earth. Essentially, everyone could die in the world. So Brad Pitt's character essentially goes on a mission to figure out what's going on and see if his father is somehow involved. He's been away for 30 years. It's amazing. Like, it's visually incredible. See it in IMAX or Dolby if you can. I was genuinely blown away by not only his acting, but just the sheer scope of the movie and the visual effects. And it's honestly one of the best performances of his career. I think this year we're actually going to see Brad Pitt get nominated for an Academy Award for acting, specifically for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and possibly win. He's that good in all these movies this year.
Hmm. All right, now what are you interviewing Joaquin Phoenix for?
So Joaquin Phoenix is for Joker. So I know you guys made fun of my tweet about about not having any words after the movie was over. So I saw it again last night, and it's even better the second time. And this movie is a R-rated, gritty, crime film about the descent of a guy who's going from, you know, he's Arthur Fleck to Joker, and it's his descent into madness. If you can imagine Martin Scorsese's Taxi Driver and The King of Comedy combined, and then taking it way darker. This is a movie that I'm like genuinely surprised exists. This is a hardcore, horrifying, disturbing, unpleasant, disgusting experience. So the point where when the movie's over, you kind of need a shower. And then I'm not saying that as an exaggeration. It's just that dirty, if that makes sense. It's a very, very amazing performance. Joaquin Phoenix, I think, is going to win the Oscar this year. I don't think anybody at this point has anywhere near what they need to do to beat him at the Oscars. I mean, this is a performance that's 2 hours and 20 minutes long. It's all him. And he lost 52 pounds. There's like a sequence in the film where he's leaning back in a chair and his rib cage is hovering over his pants because he has no stomach. And it's like, it is some wicked, wicked, wicked stuff. And so I mean, I'm interviewing him today, and then also Todd Phillips, the guy who directed Joker. You guys ready for this? He directed Road Trip and Old School and The Hangover. And now he's doing this R-rated, like, disturbing comic book film. And the movie has nothing to do, like, with normal comic book things. I mean, it definitely takes place in Gotham. Batman is something that exists or will exist at some point. But this is strictly Arthur Fleck turning into Joker for 2 hours and 20 minutes, and Joaquin Phoenix is insane.
All right, enjoy your interview. Good luck. Hopefully you get extra time with him.
Hey,
how much time are they actually giving you?
8 minutes. Hey, let me ask you this.
No, that was 8 minutes with Brad Pitt. It might be four with Joaquin.
Oh.
You guys mind if I mention real quick where my Brad Pitt interview is since we talked about it?
Sure.
Go ahead.
It's just on YouTube. If you type in Brad Pitt, Kevin McCarthy, Fox 5 DC, it'll pop up. I'd love for you guys to check it out.
Hey, what are you hearing on Motherless Brooklyn?
Dude, okay, so I know we have to go, but Jason, you're going to love this. So after I saw Joker, I went to an after party, and everybody you could ever imagine was there, John Hamm, Charlie Hunnam. And I get to the corner of the room, and I look over my left shoulder, and Edward Norton's standing there.
Right.
And the reason he was there was because Motherless Brooklyn's a WB, a Warner Brothers film, same studio who's releasing Joker. I've heard it's amazing. So he directed it and stars in it. I mean, it's kind of like his return, right? He's been kind of gone for a little while.
Right. Do you go up to these guys and say hello to them?
Edward Norton, I did not. Only because he was talking to a bunch of people, and I also – I've interviewed him before. I didn't want to, there's certain people that you don't like. I just had a vibe that he probably just didn't want to talk to me. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
they're not as approachable.
Yeah.
Well, like, for example, the weird part about that party was Joaquin Phoenix's performance is so disturbing. I go to the party and Joaquin Phoenix is there with, with his cast and everybody. And he's just like the most bubbly, normal, like nice dude. I went up to him and shook his hand, tell him congratulations on the performance. Which was kind of a weird cathartic thing, because after seeing him go into that descent and disturbing element, it kind of made me feel better to see him healthy and have that weight put back on him. But yeah, I walked up to him, but Norton, no. But Motherless in Brooklyn, to give you an answer, I've heard it's phenomenal. And I mean, Jason, you and I both love Ed Norton. I mean, he's one of the best actors ever. And I'm looking forward to see him return. Me too, man.
Wait a couple months, but I'm looking
honestly, if anybody out there hasn't seen Primal Fear, that turn at the end with him and is one of the
best.
Could
have referred to an older movie.
It's a great movie, though.
So good, man.
With Richard Gere.
Ed Norton's unapproachable, like cakes on an appearance.
All right, you guys got to go see Ad Astra. I haven't seen Rambo yet. I know that's coming out tomorrow. I heard it's absolutely awful. But
he's 100. I've never seen it.
It's like 40% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, no.
I'm still going to see it, though. I'll tweet out my thoughts on it. I mean, it could be fun. I'm not really in the mood for another Rambo movie.
Follow Kevin on Twitter, at Kevin McCarthy TV.
Thank you, Kevin. Be good.
Remember, Vincent Van
I love
Van
you guys.
Patten.
I really do love you guys.
All right. Thank you.
JP.
All right.
Vincent Van Patten is going to join us coming up at 9:40, host of the World Poker Tour. It is open line Thursday. If you want to chime in on anything, 800-636-1067. We're the Junkies on the Fan.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
We all were grubbing during the break because Roy's boys came by.
It's Roy boys. There's no S on the Roy.
Roy boys.
JP always butchers the S's.
In D.C.
Just met the guy.
I didn't know that either.
They have a new spot, 1025 First Street in Southeast.
Oh, it's very good.
Go check out that spot.
Thank you so much. Great food.
I need to go and check out the oysters.
Don't get confused with Roy boys and Roy Rogers. It's not. It's totally different.
Correct.
No.
This is better.
Much better.
These chicken fingers are really good.
Yes.
You know how this week we've been giving away tickets to see professional bull riders?
We have. They're coming
to Eagle Bank. We're going to be doing that shortly. We actually have a rodeo cowboy who's on the line.
So is that the guy?
Former rodeo cowboy.
He's not the clown. He's the guy that actually rode the bull? Is that what they do?
Probably rides bulls.
Let's find out.
I would guess.
I don't even know. Mike, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hello, Mike.
Mike, what's your background?
Yeah, where are you from? The South, Southwest.
Well, I'm from Colorado. I grew up in Colorado, and I live in Virginia now. Work in D.C.
Nice. And so, what's your background? You used to ride bulls. I mean, we used to live on a ranch.
Loves B.J. Armstrong.
used to ride horses professionally. I was a PRCA cowboy for quite a while, and rode saddle bronc and bareback. Rode a bull once. That wasn't for me. Had someone take a picture of it. Bulls are too mean. They buck you off and want to stomp on you when they buck you off.
So what do you do when you ride a horse when you're like a professional cowboy? What does that mean?
It's just like bulls. They you get on the back of them. They put you in a chute and turn you loose. And
the bucking bronco.
Yeah, they try to knock you off too.
Yeah, same thing.
It's freaking dangerous.
Yeah, it's 8 seconds. Yeah. Oh yeah, it's definitely dangerous. That's a rough way to make a living. That's why I ended up. Stopping doing it. I still to this day, that was good grief. That was 24 years ago. And I still can't ride amusement park rides because of it, because of concussions.
I bet. What did you get paid for that? What would you get paid on a given night?
It depends on the rodeo. You know, bigger rodeos, you can make, well, to give an example, some of those guys that are, make it to like the National Finals Rodeo in Vegas every year. Those guys can end up making a couple hundred thousand a year. They can make $100,000 just in the 10 days of the national finals. But most guys that ride professionally, a lot of what they make, they spend traveling because you gotta unless you're sponsored, you cover your own expenses going from rodeo to rodeo, and the rodeo season's almost a year long.
So it's just a love of the game.
Isn't there a big rodeo event in Vegas every year, or maybe multiple?
Yeah. Yep, National Finals Rodeo is in Vegas in December, and that's where the top 15 riders in every event get to go down there. And there's
a
rodeo
pole
for 10 days straight.
What's the totem pole in terms of respect? Okay, let's throw in the bull riders, the guys who are on the Broncos, the clowns, the calf ropers.
Bull riders are definitely the guys that there's something wrong with bull riders. They're a little off.
Are they the one seed though?
Yeah, they got to be.
They'd have to be the one seed. As much as it pains me to say that,
who has the most groupies?
Oh boy, they're actually our groupies, man. I tell you, they're called buckle bunnies. that follow rodeo.
Right.
What a name for them. And
they're like lot lizards.
Oh, there's some pretty hot ones.
What about the guys that are the clowns? How much do they pay those guys, especially with the bulls? I mean, those guys are insane, right? And they probably pay them nothing.
Well, the professional guys actually probably make pretty good money. I've never had that. Now there's Justin, Justin Boots, Cowboy Boots. They actually have a program where it used to be that you had to cover like your own medical expenses and all. You'd go to get health insurance, and they say, thanks, but no thanks. But
right.
Now Justin Boots has a program that they make a little more.
Best I ever did is about $70,000. Now. Yeah. Ben Stiller tries to insure you, but you're too dangerous.
Right.
All right, Mike. Appreciate the call.
Thanks for the call, pal.
Hey, thanks. See ya.
We are actually giving away these tickets to see the Professional Bull Riders during the Fairfax Invitational Eagle Bank Arena. 10th caller now at 800-636-1067. We'll hook you up with those tickets. The show is going down Saturday, September 21st. Tickets available at PBR.com, courtesy of Professional Bull Riders. Details at thefandc.com/contests. I saw Chad Dukes tweeted yesterday. He's all fired up to go.
Yeah, he's ready to head out to Eagle Bank.
When's that? Saturday?
The 21st, yeah. Yes. Saturday the 21st. I know what Jason's thinking. How could you skip college football Saturday?
I mean, George Notre Dame. I mean, I don't know how you could, well, I'm not going to poop
Isn't
on the
Georgia
on the
expected
event.
To roll in that game or no?
I think they're a 14.5-point favorite.
Yeah.
I like them.
You like Georgia.
It'll be a fun game.
Right.
I would love to be there for it.
There's an article about Doolittle.
I wonder if Mooney's going to go down. Both of his daughters go to Georgia.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he might be between the hedges.
You know, we've been fly down, spend the weekend in at Sanford Stadium.
Because I'll be in Blacksburg.
Ah, okay.
Parents' weekend.
Gotcha.
I got to find somewhere to watch it.
You'll be sad. Who are they playing? They have like ODU or something like that?
No, they're not playing anybody.
Oh, they're not playing anybody.
No. Virginia's playing ODU.
Oh, there you go.
So they're doing parents' weekend and no football game to go to? That kind of stinks, right?
I mean, it stinks for me, yeah, but I think based on like hotels, it would be impossible to get parents down there.
Maybe so.
If they're on a football game.
It's
impossible to get a hotel room down there for a football game.
So
weekend.
You upgraded from the Nubs.
From
You're
the
staying
Nubs
in a nicer spot.
He's not at the red carpet.
Yeah, not at the red carpet.
I canceled the red
inn.
Carpet and I'm going to Homewood.
Smart.
Yeah. I mean,
smart on your
Kevin was just on the red carpet with Brad Pitt, though.
Yes, he was. Well, different red carpet.
That's probably a little nicer.
Yeah.
Didn't have to pay as much.
I would think.
No, but we've been following the return of Sean Doolittle, right? And it's funny because we've talked about him. Everybody's been talking about Doolittle this year and sort of his struggles. And there's a good article actually in the Post about how I couldn't wait to read it because the headline is titillating. Let me give you the headline here as I wipe the grease off my fingers. The headline is Sean Doolittle has struggled to rediscover what made him successful, so he changed. Sean Doolittle is no longer using the radical approach that made him elite. You know what they're talking about.
Mm-mm.
Just the fact that he relied on his fastball more than 90% of the time.
Right. Is he throwing a slider now, change up?
They say now, since he's come back from the disabled list or the injured list in mid-August, he's now, because his velocity's been down and everything else, he's now throwing his fastball just 77% of the time. And he's upped his changeup to 13%. To 10%, and he's throwing his slider 13% of the time.
Good.
To make up the difference. So more off-speed stuff.
And how's
a little
that
bit
working
more
out?
Traditional. Well, he's had good results so far. Now, he's had some hard-hit fly balls.
Right.
I don't know if you guys have been paying attention. I mean,
I noticed a couple last
time. They look like they're taking him deep every time. Right, warning track fly balls. But I'm telling you, I don't think he can continue with this 90-plus percent fastball approach, especially when you look at him, and his velocity is clearly down.
And certainly not as a closer, which he's not now, but you couldn't trust him throwing fastballs at 92, 90% of the time in high-leverage situations in the 90s.
No,
couldn't.
No.
And I'm much more comfortable with Hudson.
I'll be surprised if he closes a meaningful game
the rest of
this year.
You just can't rely on him. He won't. Yeah.
I mean, God bless him. He's such a great guy.
Not when you're playing playoff games pretty much every night now.
He's like a seventh inning guy now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Heck, even some of these seventh inning times, I wouldn't have pitched him. But he's gotten good results in terms of the bottom line. But they're still barreling his balls pretty good. Anyway, I just thought that was interesting that he did. Because we've noticed it. We've noticed more breaking balls and more whatever. But statistically, you can see it is significantly different. Much more change up, much more change of speed stuff.
By the way, Gerrit Cole for the Astros had 10 more strikeouts last night.
I saw that's crazy.
He's got 302. He's the 18th pitcher ever to have 300.
In less than 200 innings, right?
He's got just at 200.
Yeah, crazy.
So Verlander and Cole are just absurd. I don't know who's going to win the side between the two. I mean, maybe Verlander's no-no.
But Strauss is no longer in the discussion.
Well, this is American League.
American League.
Right.
So Verlander's, I mean, their numbers are real comparable. Innings pitched, Verlander's got 212, Cole's got 200. Strikeouts, Verlander's got 283, Cole's got 302. Verlander has 19 wins, Cole has 18. I mean, their whips are both under 0.9. Their ERAs are both 2.5. This is an American League.
I saw he's a UFA in 2020.
He's going to make so much money.
He's going to cash
Verlander
in.
Verlander and Cole as a 1-2. In any series?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how you beat
him. Old is Cole.
29.
28, 29, yeah.
I saw a case being made that DeGrom was going to be the Cy Young again. Like, if you looked at his stats.
I've heard that.
Has he got another poopy record?
Yes.
I hate that.
But they didn't care last year.
I know. It's not about the wins, about everything else, but still. Still looks nuts.
He's got 240 Ks. He's 9-8, but he's got a 1.0 whip and he's got a 2.6 ERA.
It's hard to argue. I get it. But
I agree with you. 9-8.
It's just hurting. 9 win pitcher, one's a Cy Young. It's
they're back well, in the 20.
What did he have last year? 10?
I don't know.
I think he might have hit 11 or 12.
Right.
I mean, Soroka for Atlanta's got 12 wins. He's got 2.5 ERA. He might win that freaking thing.
Right.
But Strassi's 17 wins, 3.4 ERA. See, when your ERA is almost a full point or a full run higher than some of these other guys, I guess it's tough to give it to
yeah,
him.
Yeah, it's hard to argue for sure. Did you read the Vontae Davis article in ESPN?
I
want to click
it.
On that.
Yeah,
I did. I did not read it. I'm too busy hearing the pile driver through my headphones.
So Vontae Davis is Vernon Davis's brother. Remember that quit mid-season,
mid-game, halftime. Of the game.
And they say, here's what happened next. Has his life fallen apart since?
No.
Oh no,
he seems very happy.
Oh,
he's invested in some sort of like nutritional company.
Oh, so he's doing well.
Yeah,
he
doesn't regret it at all. He said that he actually called his wife at halftime or something and said, I'm done.
Right.
Like, he just had an epiphany that is he just wasn't into it anymore.
Yeah. How much did he make in his career?
Vontae Davis? Ooh.
Yeah.
I think he made a good amount.
Some good cash.
Maybe $40 million? Is that a good number?
I don't know if it's that high. Maybe it is. I feel like he signed
one or two big deals. That spot track is amazing.
It's amazing.
It is.
That dude that compiles all those numbers is incredible.
Vontae Davis, his career earnings, according to spot track, he grossed $51 million in 10 NFL seasons.
Mm. Hopefully he's invested it well. I mean, the numbers are sad when you look at the percentage of guys that declare bankruptcy 10 years after.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
5 years after their careers are over. But hopefully he's in the minority.
I mean, his last 4 years before he retired with the Bills, his total cash each year was 10, 10, 7.19.
Right.
So just take care of that. You're good. You're good for the rest
D.
of your
Smith
life.
Smith tells the guys every year you have an opportunity to make generational wealth, the kind of wealth you could set up your kids and your grandkids.
Well, some of them do.
Well,
If you have a
little bit longer than average career, you can make a ton of money. You know,
four or five years
in
the league.
You
can make a ton of money playing poker, too, right, Cakes?
You certainly can.
Coming up next, we will talk a little poker. Vincent Van Patten, who's a host of the World Poker Tour on Fox Sports One.
I've got a new movie coming out.
That product before, JP.
He will also join us.
Was once 26th in the world in singles, in tennis. How crazy is that?
So we're going to talk to Vincent Van Patten next here on The Junkie.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
A reminder, you can join me in Cakes on Monday night before the Redskins take on the Chicago Bears at Glory Days Grill in Fairfax. Chad's actually going to be broadcasting starting at 2 o'clock from Glory Days Grill in Fairfax. It's right there off Nutley Street. And then we take over at 5 for our Junkies pregame show. We'll see if the Redskins can get their first win of the season at home against the Bears
on Monday night. If that happened.
All right, joining us right now, though, to talk some poker, and he's got a movie out, is Vincent Van Patten. You can catch him on Fox Sports 1 as he hosts the World Poker Tour. And he now has starred and produced in a movie called 7 Days to Vegas, which opens tomorrow. What's up, Vincent?
This. Vince, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Doing great, man.
Thanks for joining us.
What a life. You know, you've been on the show before, and I know you've done radio interviews before, but what a life you've lived. We were just talking about just being sports guys, vaguely remembering your tennis career, and it wasn't like it was some sort of nonchalant thing. Like, you once reached 26 in the world in singles.
Did you get to the quarters of the French?
In doubles, but yeah.
In doubles.
25,
so.
I beat John McEnroe twice. I was the ATP new rookie of the year. Yeah, I played out there for 10 years. I played in Washington, D.C., too, at that tournament. Awesome. I think I still have it. But yeah. I had a nice career.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. I mean, dude, you were top 25 in the world. I don't know if that ever, dawns on people.
What was that grind like, just ascending to that, getting through, the junior circuit? I mean, it's vicious, trying to get through those tournaments and, the pressure that some of the parents put you under at that age. How did you get through it and get to that, top 25 status?
Well, I think it's the toughest sport in the world because you're out there alone. It's very, very difficult. It's all year round. It's the only sport up until recently that a professional will retire making top dollar, like a Bjorn Borg, Gene Mayer, many different players, because they just can't take it anymore. It's too intense. They're on the road living out of a suitcase. There's no one to be really – there's no team. So it is brutal. I was a lousy junior player. I don't know how I broke through. I really don't. I didn't go to college. I didn't get on a college team. I got beat up so much in tennis as an 18 and 19 year old and a 17 year old that eventually I went, I got to figure out a way to get back at them. It was all on revenge.
Right.
I got to figure out that bigger, stronger and do it. And that's how it happened. I don't know.
It's so sick. And then, so obviously I'm assuming that competitiveness when you're trying from there, that's how that somehow leads you into poker. How did you end up in the poker world?
Well, my father, Dick Van Patten, an actor, he was a degenerate gambler and loved gambling. The horse races, the poker, and he taught me at age 8. It's kind of funny. But he said, listen, if you're going to get through life and do well, you might as well learn how to do these things. I see that you have the bug a little bit. So he did teach me about horse racing and poker, and I played poker when I was 16 years old. I actually had a phony beard and mustache made up so I could go to Gardena, California, and play for over 21 in the poker game down there in the casinos. That's what a degenerate I was. I loved it, and I was good at it. I was always good. And along the years, in the 90s, I started up a game after I got off the tennis circuit, and the game got bigger and bigger. And it wasn't about the game as much as the people that I played with were very fun and exciting. They had the joy of making side bets all the time. So we would make crazy side bets. And one of the craziest side bets I ever made was that I could walk from L.A. to Las Vegas, 280 miles, in 7 days. And that's what this movie
was. Whose idea was it?
That is crazy.
Whose idea was it?
Well, I tell you, because when you're all hanging out all the time, you come up with all stupid bets. I mean, I used to play guys on rollerblades with a frying pan on the tennis court for a bet. all kinds of weird. So I think I finally came up with this. Hey, I can do this 40 miles a day. I think I can do this. So I made this crazy bet, and that's what 7 days to Vegas is about.
Oh, that is awesome.
So it's 40 miles a day.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to do it, pace it out, 280 miles, 7 days, it would be 40 miles a day. It's tough to do unless you're a marathoner or a runner.
Right.
I was never one of those, but that's the crazy bet. And the movie's coming out nationwide in exclusive theaters.
How much did you bet? How much was on the line?
It's all in the movie. A lot of it's fictionalized too. So, the players I played with are fictionalized. They're a conglomeration of people I knew. It's fun. So I can't give you details of that. You got to see the movie.
All right,
gotcha. Were you allowed to run a little bit, or did you have to walk?
Well, in the movie, it's you can run or walk, and limited night walking time. And I have to do it in a suit. That's one of the conditions.
Oh, my God.
You got to wear a suit. Yeah. And so we were filming in the desert, right in the middle of the desert. I'm in this suit, and we were filming for 9 hours, 10 hours a day. And it's very, very hot, obviously, 110 degrees. But it's so weird because if you have a project like this, I didn't even feel it. I mean, I was just sweating every day, but it was so intense, and I just wanted to get this movie off the ground and do a good job. I didn't even feel the heat. That's the crazy thing about it.
Did you lose a bunch of weight?
Yes, you really do, man. You lose as much weight as you want to.
Was it as torturous as you would think? Because some of these guys go, it's walking. I can walk 12 hours a day, no big deal.
But if you can mix in the running.
Yeah, mix in the running, whatever.
I wouldn't want to do it in a suit, but that's the tough part.
I don't care. You can be in shorts and a t-shirt. I'm telling you, walking for 12 hours a day is freaking torture.
It's boring.
I don't think people realize that.
Right. I mean, how many people? I wouldn't do it if they gave me 6 weeks now. I mean, that's how tough it is. This was 15 years back. It's a crazy bet. But, you could break down. You could just get blisters on your feet. You just can't go on.
Yeah, what did you have to deal with? What were the obstacles you had to deal with?
Well, I won't. It's all in the film. There's crazy details in there, and some of it's fictionalized too. So I won't tell you. But if you actually had to do it, just imagine what you have to deal with. It's crazy stuff.
No spoilers.
I know.
7 days to Vegas, which opens tomorrow. As we talked to Vincent Van Patten, who hosts the World Poker Tour on Fox Sports 1.
I want to ask you about your game that you were hosting. So I'm assuming, because you grew up in a kind of a celebrity family, you did a lot of acting, you were in more than 30 commercials, et cetera, director now, that you had celebrities in your home game. Can you give us some names?
Yeah. Well, when I was growing up, my father had his game. And if we're going back, but remember Get Smart, Don Adams?
Sure.
Sorry
yeah.
about that, Chief. So he would play in the game. Gabe Kaplan would play in the game. I mean, just Jerry Van Dyke.
Right.
Richard Dreyfuss played in our game back in the day in the 70s and 80s. And then, you know, along the way, with my game, you know, I played with Ben Affleck and Toby and all these guys. And they're James Woods and Jennifer Tilly. Jennifer's in the film, too. But,
right.
Yeah, I mean, actors seem to be very, very good poker players. They can read people and they're competitive. That's what you have to
was
be.
Was Toby
poker.
The best? The rumor is Toby was the best amongst the celebrities.
I think Toby was quite good. Him and Affleck, it's a tie. It's a dead heat. They're both great players. Woods is good, but
yeah.
James Woods he's a terrific player. But the only thing, he's very boring because if he has a bad beat story, he'll tell you that for 10 minutes. You know, he doesn't
like that.
It's boring.
Yeah, yeah.
So who was the worst? Who was the fish that you just couldn't wait to get at the table?
Jerry Van Dyke, you know, from Coach.
Yeah.
He's a great
brother.
Guy. Dick Van Dyke's brother. He was just like punchy at the table, and he would just like be in every pot.
Right.
He came for the cookies, okay? He
right.
came to the home game for the cookies, basically, and just wrote out a check and gave some cash, and he was just a fun
so
guy.
So were you in the same game that Molly's game was?
Molly Bloom?
Yeah, were you in those games?
Well, my game got bigger and bigger, and, Molly actually came to my game.
Right.
I was a little bit before her. And so, oh, this is fantastic. You know, can I take a few of your players? I said, yeah, sure. And then she sort of took that game on, and that was her thing. But I played with some of the same players. It wasn't the same game. In the film, obviously, I don't, you know, we fictionalize everybody. So it's,
right.
There's no people that I point the finger at or said did this or did that. So,
do you still have home games? Do you still play at home?
Not much. 18 years now on the World Poker Tour. I'm the commentator.
Yeah.
And I kind of burnt out. And I've been doing this film, 7 Days to Vegas, for the last 6 years, writing it and then putting it together. And I just don't have the time. When you play poker and you play in these bigger games, you're up all night, and, you know, it's tough. I had to get up early to bring the kids to school, and it's a tough combination. And when you take a hit, you lose, you know, a pretty big hit, it's tough. It takes 4 or 5 days to shake that off.
Right.
You know, wins are good, but I always thought a loss is 3 times worse than a good win. And
is there still a big, like,
tough grind.
Is there still a big celebrity game out there, like sort of underground?
I think there is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're playing some big games out there. Kevin Hart and Antonio Esfandiari. I know that's a very, very big game. I mean, it just keeps escalating. People want to play higher stakes.
Right.
So I dropped out about 10 years ago and couldn't take the ups and downs. But I wrote the movie, 7 Days to Vegas. And like I said, some of it's fictionalized and some of it's real. And it's a lot of fun. And if you pre-order now on iTunes, that would help. That would help a lot. That'd be great. And it's out. It's an exclusive theater. So we're very happy to have it going.
Well, congratulations,
hey, Tim, what's Salami been up to? Tim.
That Tim Van Patten,
yeah.
Half, he's my uncle. He's my father's half-brother.
Right.
He's great. Just saw him a few days ago in L.A. He's doing a series out there. He's directing a series, and he did the pilot on Boardwalk Empire and Sopranos. So he's a big director, great guy. Yeah, he's doing well.
Awesome. Mm-hmm.
Well, listen, it's awesome having you on the show. We'll all check out the movie.
Yeah, good luck, man.
Congratulations, man. Very cool.
Thank you so much, guys. Appreciate
yep.
it.
All right,
thanks,
buddy.
Vincent.
Vince Van Patten, man. What a life, huh?
Yeah.
Grow up in a family like that.
I didn't realize his dad was a DJ.
His pops is
no, his dad was kind of a legendary poker player.
Yeah, I didn't know
eight.
That.
Yeah.
And I guess that's where he got it.
Yep. But then
no
just
idea.
And he just kind of grinded himself and taught himself to be the top 25 in the world in tennis.
That's amazing.
Crazy.
You think when your kids talk about you years from now, they go, my dad was a DJ.
He's a degenerate gambler.
I'll say he was depressive, alcoholic, degenerate.
Yeah.
All three of those.
Quite a description.
Have you passed on any of those DJs? They're not into gambling. They know you gamble, right?
Well, 100%.
Yeah, but they're not into it?
Nah.
Because they don't
just want to buy stuff. They just say, I hope you win. Right. You know, I want more clothes from Urban.
Right.
And I need to go to Urban Outfitters again for the third time this week.
They like it when you hate those fatties.
You don't want to be one of them to be sort of your protege?
Nah. It's a bad world.
Yeah. Right. It's kind of seedy.
Yeah.
You but finally are getting
as long, you know, I was deeper into it when I was in college.
Yeah.
Because I would bet money I didn't have. Now I don't. Right. I mean, I don't bet a lot of money just to do it for entertainment.
Yeah. But what about the boozing? Maybe they'll pick up on the boozing. You guys can be boozing partners.
There are one's in college, the other one's almost there, of course.
Yeah.
That's what you'll do in your later years.
Probably.
Just drink together.
That'll be fine.
Yeah, it'll work.
He keeps it under control, generally. He doesn't get hammered.
No, those days are over. Yeah. All right,
we got to get
that's
out
of
now. Yeah, for Bishcakes, EB, I'm JP. We'll see you tomorrow. Granddaddy next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.